Shlomo Lechem, Mishnah Yomi is holding at the 12th and final Mishnah in chapter 4 of Ketuvot, and then we're on to chapter 5, Bezrat Hashem. We've been on the topic of conditions in the Ketuvah, and specifically conditions that are so universal, they're considered what we call a Tanai Beit Din, a stipulation made by the court, which is effective in every Jewish marriage, even if it's not written into the actual Ketuvah of this particular couple. So the final such condition in Mishnah Yod Beit, Mishnah 12, At Tehe Yotva Beveiti, you may remain settled in my home. They're talking about the marital home where the husband and wife were living before he passed away. Umitozna Minichsai, and you are fed from my property, my bank account. Kol Yemei Migod Almanutich Beveiti, for the entire time that you remain a widow in my home. Chayev. The heirs of the husband, the estate manager and the heirs must provide this to the widow. She's allowed to keep living in the home that she'd been living in before, using all the kalim, and having support and sustenance and food like she was used to when her husband was alive. Shehu Tanai Beitin. This is a condition made by the courts. Even if it's not written into the ketuvah, the widow does get this right. And the Mishnah elaborates that for a time, this wasn't a universal custom. Kach hayu anshe Yerushalayim kotfin. This was the wording that the people of Jerusalem used to write in the Ketuvah, and it was their custom, their Tanai Beitin in that place. Anshe Galil hayu kotfin ke anshe Yerushalayim. In Galil, the northern section of Eretz Yisrael, they would write just like the custom in Yerushalayim. But anshe Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, the southern area south of Jerusalem, Hayu Kotvin, they would write in their ketuvah a little differently. They would write, Od Sheyirtsu Hayorshin Liten Lich Ketuvtich, until the heirs of the deceased husband want to pay off the ketuvah, then they could take the home. Lefichach, therefore, Imrotsu Hayorshin, if the heirs of the deceased husband wanted, Notnin Lo Ketuvata, they could give the widow the entire lump sum payment of her ketuvah, and they could send her to find somewhere else to live, and they could move into the father's house. We could all understand that real estate is a valuable asset, and there might be disputes over the real estate, but the Mefarshim explained that the custom became like the people of Yerushalayim, the people of Galil, that the widow does have the right to remain in the home. As long as she's not out there dating and getting remarried to someone else, she may remain in the home as she had when her husband was alive. Let's go on to chapter 5. Af al pisha amru, even though our sages stated, betula govim atayim, a betula, when she was married as a betula, she takes a ketuvah of 200 on the event of death or divorce of the husband, almana mana, and a widow takes 100, imrotza lahosif, if the husband wants to add on, afilu meya mana, even wants to add 100 more mana. And this 100 mana is 10,000 zuz. It's 100 times the ketuvah of an almana, which is a mana. Yosef, he may add that in. They could write that into the ketuvah, whatever they want. I heard secondhand or third hand that someone was at a wedding and the guy wrote in $1 million. Mama, she put $1 million in the ketuvah. However, the general custom is just to go by the default that our sages have been using for thousands of years. But if someone wants to add, they certainly could. The Mishnah explains, Nit armala o nit garsha, if this woman becomes widowed or divorced, bein min erusin, bein min nesuin, whether it's from the first stage of marriage or they already went to chuppah, the second stage of marriage, gove et hakol. She receives the entire amount, the basic amount, and whatever additions, whatever tosefets were written in. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omeri, disagrees. He says, min nisuin gove et hakol. If they've actually gone to chuppah, they've had the wedding feast, and they're living together as man and wife, then she gets the entire amount with the additions. Min erusin, if they merely had kiddushin, the first stage of marriage, they had not gone to chuppah, betula gove matayim, then she gets 200 almana mana, and the widow gets 100, the default amount. And he explains why. Shelo kat of law, the man didn't write these extra amounts, el almanat lekansa, only on condition that they actually go through with the wedding and they're fully married. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now Rabbi Yehuda changes topic a little bit. He says, imrotza, if she wants, if the wife wants, kotev, or they both want in this case, we'll see they both have to take part in this, kotev lebetula shtar shalmatayim. The man could write for the betula a shtar of 200 zuz, v'hi kotevet, and she's going to write him a receipt. Hitkabalti mimcha money. And she writes to him, I've received from you 100. So really, she didn't receive anything, but she's writing a fictitious receipt to decrease his ketuvah obligation to her. Well, almana, mana. Similarly, he could write a default ketuvah to an almana, to a widow of 100 zuz, vehiko tevet hitkabalti mimcha 50 zuz. And she could write a receipt, I already got 50 zuz from you. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the husband and wife agree, they could actually reduce the default ketuvah from the 200 or the 100, though they'd have to have a roundabout way of doing so. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir disagrees. He says, Kol ha-poichetz le-betula b'mitayim. Anytime you reduce the ketuvah payment due to a betula from 200, ulamana memana, or you reduce that due to an almana from 100, anything less, harei zo be'ilat znut. This is as if it's a improper marital relationship. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, this is because the ketuvah is a biblical concept, a deraisa, a biblical obligation. So if someone's trying to make a stipulation or a roundabout workaround to get out of the ketuvah, it's as if he's trying to make a stipulation against the Torah, and it would be ineffective. And it's like kind of like they wouldn't even really been married because the marriage requires such a thing for the ketuvah. And effectively, the man will be required, like we said about Tanai Beten, he'll be required to pay the full amount, even if he's trying to do such a workaround. Yasha koach, zay gizut.